It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is absolutely incredible, guys. I'm just loving this conversation. I got to say, I am a Chardonnay guy over the Sauvignon Blanc, only because the only time I ever drink white wine is at a wedding, because you can just, you know, it's easy to drink.
Yeah.
It doesn't stain your mouth and whatnot.
Good point.
And I'm simply a Chardonnay guy because it just seems it's easier to say than Sauvignon Blanc when you're at a loud bar, you know? So that's what I go with. And I'm with Randy. I couldn't tell you the difference between the two of them. After one, let alone three or four. So, but I feel like with red wine, there's some more distinction.
I agree, Joe.
Oh, Lord. I thought I was kidding when I said, oh, Chardonnay drinking ass Joe. Let's
talk about the distinction between the Falcons that played the Saints the last time they played and the Falcons that are playing the Saints on Sunday, because it feels like a very different football team.
Yeah, it does. Especially, I mean, I think offensively, because when the team played the Saints the first time, that was really before we had seen this team find their rhythm offensively. You know, it was that next Thursday after the Saints game where Kirk had the 500-yard game against the Bucs, and then that, I think, clearly kind of set in motion some things offensively for this team that they've been able to grasp onto, that's really kind of elevated the offense overall. And so, yeah, I think, the fan in me is about to say, yeah, it's time to put that, everything that they've kind of, gotten in gear since then, put that to good use and put a whooping on the Saints that kind of deserve it, maybe after the way that game last year in the Superdome ended. But it certainly does feel like a totally different dynamic for the Falcons team playing against this Saints team, with how they're playing offensively and with, you know, the Saints kind of being in this mode that, you know, who knows, maybe they'll kind of get jazzed up playing for an interim head coach and everything, but obviously getting rid of a corner in Marshawn Lattimore, it's going to be a blow for them. So should be an interesting dynamic, but, you know, just to kind of speak more about it, Andy, just like the way that the offense looks right now, it's so fun to watch this Falcons team. I know it's obviously frustrating at times watching them play on defense, but if I were to have to pick one, I would rather prefer to watch a team that's great offensively, just because it's so fun. And, you know, with what Zach Robinson is doing with the motions and everything, and honestly, just like the rhythm, the operation and the rhythm in which it's happening now is so much better than what it was looking like that first time they played the Saints. And hopefully they can use that to their advantage on Sunday.
Hey, JP, what was Rod's biggest reason for letting guys have a walkthrough yesterday?
You know, nothing other than kind of just like load management was given. You know, if I were to read into it, and this wasn't a conversation, but it was obviously a late night for a lot of people on Tuesday night with the election. So, like, I wonder if that kind of plays into it, just understanding that guys aren't going to maybe be as rested as they would on a typical week getting ready for a Wednesday. So just kind of planning that in. He did say that this was always pre-planned for a while, and that this won't be the first time, or this won't be the last time that they do a kind of non-practice, just walkthrough style thing on Wednesday. And I actually think it's smart, Randy, and I think that it speaks to a level of like professionalism and experience that this version of the Falcons has versus previous teams, where I feel like the coaching staff feels like they can afford to do this and it's not going to necessarily hamper the team's preparation. I can certainly envision a coach, you know, with a previous quarterback, maybe say a second year quarterback who's in his first year starting, who might think that they need to get as many reps in as possible during the week because the quarterback, needs them, frankly. And I think that when you have a guy like Kirk Cousins under center, especially offensively, you know, there's just a, you know, he's just so much better at getting this offense prepared as well as the coaching staff that I feel like they can do a little bit of this kind of load management stuff that will hopefully help them physically on Sunday.
What do you think the biggest reason they didn't make a trade earlier this week was?
I don't think it's because they felt like they didn't want to bring somebody in. You know, and I do think that there is some conflation between needing a pass rusher and wanting a pass rusher. I don't think they necessarily, quote unquote, need one. You know, they're 6-3 right now. They're on track to make the playoffs. Would they want one? Absolutely. But ultimately, I don't think that they were willing to risk trading away yet another draft pick. You know, and we've talked about this in the lead up, but they already traded away a third rounder for Matthew Judon, and that one clearly has not worked out to the extent that they would have wanted at this point. And that alone should kind of spell out the risk that is actually inherent in these deals, where just because you trade for a guy who, you know, has a track record or even has, you know, produced sacks this year, doesn't mean he's necessarily going to come into the team and reproduce that production and necessarily going to give you the boost. Now, their odds are that he would, but there's just not that guarantee. And since there's not the guarantee, are you willing to risk giving up yet another pick? Because this team is down the third, like we mentioned, down the fifth from the tampering sanctions that came down earlier this summer. They don't have a sixth-round pick because of the trade they made for Van Jefferson, where they traded away their sixth and picked up a seventh from the Rams. So they do have multiple sevenths. But I think they just didn't have, ultimately, the reason why the deal didn't get done was they didn't have the kind of the picks to trade away, meaning like the ability to match value with other teams and what they would want given the picks that they had on hand. And so it just made it more difficult to make a deal. And obviously it makes it a different risk proposition when you're already down so many picks. So, you know, ultimately it's a gamble to trade for somebody. It's a gamble not to trade for somebody, right? Like, they're going to be betting now on the guys they have on the roster to potentially step up. Who knows if they could, you know, sign a player that gets waived from a team. I know Yannick Ngakoue just got, you know, released from the Ravens. He was a you know, relatively higher profile edge free agent this past offseason. So there's still potential you could add a player, but ultimately I think you got to look at some of these younger players on the roster and see if they can kind of step up the level of production in the second half of the season.
JP, did you see what your, like I said, because you're there at the game, did you notice or anything that they were playing Caden Ellison in any different way?
Well, what I noticed from Ellis was it seemed like, you know, and it's something that they've done a lot this year, which is kind of get those inside linebackers and that kind of double mug look or that mugged up look, which is like that, those inside linebackers coming down and kind of positioning themselves right in between the center and guard and presenting that blitz. But what I've noticed earlier this season was they were just presenting that and then dropping back into coverage or dropping off lots of times. And to me, it looked like they were just willing to be more aggressive and kind of bold with Caden and having him either, you know, blitz right into that gap or use his position to then create a, kind of a stunt where he can loop around and some other players can get in position. I just thought that it clearly was effective. I mean, Caden Ellis had a great game, 13 tackles and a sack and a tackle for loss, played really well. And obviously the defense as a whole stepped up and got some sacks. And granted, it wasn't a great offensive line there for the Cowboys, like we're accustomed to seeing from them. But I do think that it's got to give the players and the coaches some optimism heading into the rest of the year. And just, you know, you almost feel like it's almost like in basketball or something. You see a ball go down, and then that can instill some confidence and lead to some more. So hopefully it can. But I do think, you know, when it comes to the pass rush, we probably don't talk about Caden Ellis enough as being a contributor there, because that's what he was when he was in New Orleans, and exactly. The Falcons made him an off-ball linebacker, but he really has a knack for getting to that quarterback.
I know there's still plenty of time between Sunday, but from an injury perspective, how are things looking?
It's looking really good, guys. It's looking as good as it has in several weeks, because it's looking like Drew Dahlman will be back. I was actually even a little bit surprised he wasn't on the roster for the game on Sunday, but they were taking it slow with him. Troy Anderson told media that he's going to play this week, so he's going to be back. Both those guys were listed as full participants in the estimated injury report that went out yesterday. The only guys who were estimated who would not have practiced yesterday were Matthew Judon with an illness, and so hopefully that's something. I wouldn't be surprised if he still remains out but then is able to play this weekend, assuming it's just some kind of typical cold or something. And then J.D. Bertrand with a concussion. It looks like he's probably going to be out now for, you know, I would gather probably a couple weeks. We'll see. You just never know with a concussion, but wouldn't expect him to be ready to go. But other than that, you know, everybody else was in, and it was a big point of concern because, you had Grady Jarrett leave with what was described as an Achilles injury. That obviously everybody kind of thought the worst, and especially knowing Grady, he is a guy who would like walk off the field with some catastrophic Achilles injury. But that's not the case. I even saw him walking around the locker room after the game. He seemed to be totally fine. And Drake London, too. He obviously left that game, was a kind of a big storyline there. But both those guys were estimated to have been limited yesterday. They might be limited again today, but I would expect both of them to be ready to go. And I think they expect to be ready to go as well.
Joe, great stuff, as always.
Appreciate it, Jay.
You've earned yourself an ice cold Chardonnay.
I'll get back to my wine tasting.
Yeah. You've earned it.
You've earned it.
It's 1:30 in the afternoon. I think it's time.
That's right, yeah. Who's counting? It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.